Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll hear from Jordan Rodriguez, Center Daily Times. Thanks for all the calls today. They've been great. Judy, thanks for your comment on Facebook. It's a little late now. Absolutely, Judy, is no getting around it. But it was also our responsibility to pass along the news that they did this. And that all of us weren't at least imagining it. But you're right, it is a little late. I always feel the same way you do, Judy. That's why I'd like, you know, if you're going to have replay where you've got some time to hash it out, okay, hash it out. Figure it out. They didn't do it in this case. The targeting thing is one, like I said, there's been three primary ones in the past year where I'm watching it. You know, I think I know the rules. And, I mean, I talked to Jerry McGinn about this. I mean, Jerry's awesome to talk to. Jerry's a great referee. And I get them all wrong. Guys I think are going to stay in the game, and they're like, oh, yeah, they're okay. Don't worry about that. He's going for the ball. That's a tackle to shoulder pads. He got pushed into the pile. Nope, they all got thrown out. Like, what? Oh, and I know safety is important. I got it. But you got to implore common sense. Defensive players entitled to go for the ball, and he was going for the ball. Oh, well. Now, did it matter in the game? No, in the end. Did it matter about an outstanding guy in Brandon Smith? Yeah, it did matter. He's only going to get so many times in his life to play games. All right. Let's get to the play-by-play call of the day, and this is an emotional one. Last night in St. Louis with John Rooney on the call.
A swing and a long drive. Left center field. Way back to the track. To the ball. Grand slam. Diaz.
He was among the people that would be counted among Jose Fernandez's best friends. And he hit one out last night. A grand slam, emotional, a big win for the Cardinals, too. John Rooney with the call on the Cardinals Radio Network. All right, let's bring in Jordan Rodriguez, Center Daily Times. By the way, coming up tomorrow, Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of Minnesota football, is going to join us. We're also going to have a writer from the St. Paul Pioneer Press on tomorrow as well to talk about Minnesota football. Let's talk about Penn State football now with Jordan Rodriguez from the Center Daily Times. Jordan, welcome back. Great to have you with us. You got this great Pac-12 background. I mean, have you sent a thank you note to the Big Ten because now the Big Ten's playing Pac-12 style football just for you?
I like to think it is just for me. I don't know. Does that seem selfish? I'm not sure.
No, but we're going to couch it that way because we think it's right.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I only need two cups of coffee through a football game now instead of six, so I think it's all right.
All right, you watched Saturday. What, you know, just your general thoughts on what you saw.
Well, the sound effect I wanted to make just now probably isn't appropriate for the radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, I don't know. They were beat in the trenches, first and foremost. They were overpowered physically. They could not connect with on the perimeter with their receivers, especially on some of those 50-50 balls that they tried to use early. Chris Godwin's usually so good with those and just wasn't present in the first half. Couldn't get the run game going, obviously. Saquon Barkley was swallowed alive while, you know, behind scrimmage a lot of times because the pressure was just too much for Penn State's offensive line. Trace, I think, didn't have the greatest pocket presence I've seen. I think it could have been better. I think he knows that, though, and I think that's something that we'll see him continue to improve on as his time passes. And I still really hate that that fourth down decides to go for 3 points instead of six call, but you know, it's not going to make the difference in a game. So
right. Okay, now they've got this one coming up this week. What are some areas right away on that checklist that have to start swinging Penn State's way to swing games their way?
Well, the offensive line has to start getting a little bit of push back. They are being stood up and pushed backwards, as we've seen. Not as bad as I think we've seen in the past, but Minnesota is going to be just as big and physical in their front as we have seen so far. I'd probably put them on the same line as I mean, they're any Big Ten team. They're going to be big and physical up front. So the offensive line has to create space right at scrimmage for Saquon Barkley so he doesn't have to do as much as he's had to do, and to give Trace McSorley a little bit of time to throw, because it's going to be the same game plan we've seen against Penn State every single game. Stack the box and try to stop the run and challenge to throw outside. And when Michigan did it, it worked. And so Big Ten teams are going to see that. And when Pitt did it, it worked. So Big Ten teams are going to see that, I think, and really try to hurt Penn State that way. So those are the biggest things I think need to happen. And you know, it's just the same tune I think we've been singing for the last couple of years, is that offensive line has just got to flat out be better, honestly.
Okay. And the linebacking situation, have you ever seen this? Ever heard of it anywhere else?
I have never seen it. I asked James if he had ever seen it. No, not in his 22 years. And I asked Koa Farmer, who's been kind of the spokesman of this unit that we've been talking to the last couple weeks here. He's never seen anything like it. And I don't think any football fan really has seen anything like it. The closest thing I think we can compare it to is when Maryland went through, four quarterbacks a couple years ago?
Right.
And I know Indiana also went through a few last year as well, but it's different because you got guys, they're pulling from other positions now, and really it's a whole different unit if those three starters are healthy, but they're just not. And it's definitely a unique situation. I think it's exciting for some of the young players if you want to look at it in a positive fashion. It's exciting for Manny Bowen and Jake Cooper and Cam Brown. I think those three have bright futures ahead of them. Obviously, Brandon Smith has become a quick fan favorite as the former walk-on fullback. But I think that it's exciting for a player like Cam Brown, but I worry about the kid because he has the physicality and the size and the height. But have you seen how thin this kid is? I mean, I'm afraid he's going to be snapped in half at one of these games, and he's just young. He's a young guy.
Right.
So it causes a little bit of concern because playing young guys too early can sometimes really go in the wrong direction, but there's no other option.
Right. There was
a tricky situation.
Yeah, there was an old saying here that Joe Paterno had for years when he'd talk about this. I'd rather play a guy one game too late than one game too early. You know, that fine line as to when to play them. And he discussed that all the time. When you look at the game Saturday, Minnesota may not be a veteran team, but up front they are a big football team. I mean, this is a huge football team. I mean, they're not really that mobile. I've watched enough tape where they're not really that mobile. But what about that? What about that matchup? And also the ability maybe in this game to play with the lead.
That's a dangerous matchup, I think, because yes, they are very big up front. And I was joking around to one of my colleagues yesterday that they must hibernate these boys during the winter because they're bears out there. They look huge. And it's just crazy to think that, you know, this talent does exist all around the Big Ten, but Minnesota, it's kind of funny when you think of Minnesota or, you know, Midwest football, you think of big, corn-fed kids on the line, you know, and that's exactly what this team has. So it's a really dangerous matchup in terms of a big, experienced line against a young, inexperienced, eager but inexperienced defensive line. And then on the other side of it, their defensive line is big, too. And that's going to be dangerous for Penn State's offensive line. So I think exactly what you said, Steve. I think getting out to a quick lead, I think maybe throwing in some wrinkles that we haven't seen much of from Joe Moorhead that we expected to see a little bit more of, a little bit of the trickery and whatnot. I really enjoyed that fake Statue of Liberty they executed a couple weeks back. I want to see a little bit more of that. I think that will help get the momentum out to an early lead and really give the team some confidence early on. And then keeping that lead, obviously, they got to put their foot on the pedal and just not let up the entire game.
I want to ask about the targeting rule, and you know, and obviously the Smith play comes into this.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that I watch, I get wrong. And I'm not kidding about that. I mean, I saw the Michigan State thing last year where the Michigan State player pushed Joe Bolden, the Michigan linebacker, in mm-hmm. to the pile, and Bolden gets thrown out. I saw the Nebraska game and the Holiday Bowl the Foster Farms Bowl last year against UCLA. He makes a high tackle. I thought, and I looked at it and said, yeah, he'll be okay. Nope, threw him out. Saw the Smith play, knew, thought for sure he's going for the ball. Okay. What am I missing here? Why am I wrong on all these calls? Other than the fact,
yeah,
okay, and this is the part where you can get into how bad my intellect is.
No, Steve. Honestly, I don't think the average human being looking at one of these calls and one of these plays, I think instinctually, a lot of times you see on social media the right call, and then it's not the call that is made on the field when it comes to these targeting rules, which is so interesting to me because. It seems like a vast majority of the population has no idea what the right call then is after the officials make their decision. I really think, and I've been saying this for years, at first it was a joke. I started out as a joke, but now I'm dead serious. I really think referees need to take basic physics courses before they can become a referee.
Right.
Because obviously Brandon Smith's trajectory, his eyes, his chin even, and his arms are focused on the ball, as it so often is, but the incidental contact of the helmet is something that the refs look at first and foremost. And so that makes it into the black and white rule where there's no interpretation for intent, for physical trajectory, or simple biological trajectory of the body. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense to me at all. And there can't be any, and for the ref's perspective, there can't be any of that gray area for interpretation, because if you leave it up to a ref for interpretation of intent, that's when things start to spiral a little bit out of control in terms of the officiating. So you have to make things really black and white for referees, but this rule, I think, it needs to be looked at. I mean, we saw it last year. I think it was against Penn State. Ohio State's Joey Bosa almost got ejected for targeting, and then it got overturned. And
right.
I rarely see those overturned, you know? But to me, that looked like
right.
It was not incidental contact. That did not look right to me.
In fact,
Zettel
last year had one overturned here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I would agree with that. I remember that one. I agree with the overturn. But I honestly was genuinely surprised to see that Brandon Smith call did not get overturned. Because I joke too, because that kid has taken more advanced physics courses than probably that entire sideline put together.
Right.
And it's just crazy to me to think that, of course he didn't intentionally, and it's the nicest kid on the planet. Of course he didn't intentionally stick his helmet into the other kid's helmet. It was so clear that it was incidental. I mean, he couldn't even see the kid. He was going for the ball. And it's just that kind of thing. And then later on, I think there was one where UCLA was involved and it wasn't called, and it was clear intentional, you know, it was clear targeting, and I think it wasn't called, if I'm remembering correctly.
It was not.
And that's why I think people are so angry about it. And it's something that it really could have affected different parts of the game, and it certainly would have affected the stability and the health of the current linebacker situation, because Jan Johnson comes in and a few plays later, he, you know, hurts his knee and he's out for the season.
There's no common sense. Now, I want to say this in defense of the officials on the field. It's quick and to the point, and as a protective mm-hmm. move, they throw the flag. Now, what people don't know, number one, Brandon Smith can start the game this week. I am the one that made the mistake on the air last week and said he would have to sit out the first half. So that's on me. I made the mistake. He can start this game because he missed the second half because the flag happened in the first half. So that's one.
Yeah.
Number two is that I don't blame the official on the field for throwing it, but believe it or not, the official in the booth can then pick up the flag for them, too. That's new that they can do that. They can pick up the flag. Supposedly in the UCLA-Stanford game, they did review the play, but only to see if it was a catch and a fumble. They didn't review targeting on that play at all.
Yeah, that's ridiculous to me. It has to be consistent. If they're going to make something this way, it has to be consistent. And that it just shows year after year, there's so much inconsistency with this particular rule. And it really comes down to sitting down with it, reviewing it, looking at all of the case studies. I mean, heck, you see 10 case studies every 2 weeks in college football. And so sitting down and reviewing a case-by-case scenario, interviewing the referees and what they saw, what happened, what the process was, what the procedure was, and then really taking a strong evaluation of that rule. I think that's necessary. I absolutely think that's something that the NCAA should do.
And you and I are both all for safety, which is fine. And we also know that, look, every lawsuit is named the NCAA. Every lawsuit is named the conference they played in. So you know darn well liability plays a role in this,
mm-hmm.
too. I mean, with common sense, Sarah. I mean, you know, people don't like when I say that, but, you know, the truth's the truth.
Absolutely. But I think you can make the argument, too, that, you know, for every targeting call, there's, you know, 60 times a running back is lowering his shoulder and cracking helmets with, you know, guys that are three times his size.
Right.
So if you're going to, you know, the safety thing is always a huge concern in the lawsuits and especially, but, you know, if you're going to try to make the game safer, then there needs to be consistent reevaluation of the current rules right now. And I think the targeting rule is certainly one of them.
Jordan, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you Saturday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Jordan Rodriguez, Center Daily Times. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Imagine feeling the raw power of a 400-horsepower twin-turbo V6 and match that with all-wheel drive and the ultimate in comfort and technology. Experience the zen-like feeling for yourself. Stop by our showroom and experience this incredible American luxury vehicle, the new 2017 Lincoln MKZ. It's more than a car, it's an experience. Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury is waiting for you to come and experience the complete lineup of Lincoln luxury vehicles. Sunbury Motors is making that luxury an affordable reality with 0% financing for 60 months and $1,000 cash back on 2016 Lincoln MKX, and 0% financing for 60 months and $3,500 cash back on 2016 MKZ hybrids. Comfort, performance, style, and luxury are all made affordable at the Susquehanna Valley's home for affordable American luxury, Sunbury Motors Lincoln. Check out our inventory online at sunburylincoln.com or visit us today in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury.
All right, great to have you with us. Big night coming up tonight. I'm speaking to the Pennsylvania Petroleum Association this evening. So, I don't know what possessed them to do this, but what the heck? And they call up. I always say, are you sure? Are you sure?
Well, it's going to rain tonight, so no golf. So why not? A little dinner and a talk.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Good talk, Russ.
So we've heard back from your brother.
Yes, he wants to go to the Maryland game. I'm going to have to tell him he's in. I mean, it's like I've been waiting for him to tell me what the deal is. It's going to be a noon game, which is perfect for him. He wants a noon game. So that's perfect.
I've heard that before. Yeah, Joe Susan mentioned that a few weeks back at one of the Bucknell football luncheons. If he had his way, every game would kick off at 11:55.
Yeah, brother. Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, I've always gone back and forth. I mean, I've always felt 1 or 1:30 is actually best, but there's no time frame on television for that. It's either noon, 3:30, 4:30, 6, or 7:30 or 9. One doesn't fit the time frame.
Oh, quite a few though. Back in the day when I was a kid, when all we had was network TV, there were a lot of 1:30 kicks.
Yeah, but they were on radio.
Yeah,
they weren't on TV. You know, that's the difference now. So I get to talk about oil and gas tonight. See, I'll fit right in. I fill up all the time.
You know I do.
But you know what? This country is blessed with many different things. It's blessed with an incredible workforce, people who are entrepreneurs, people who are have that entrepreneurial spirit, have that work ethic that's second to none. There's an ingenuity that makes things happen. And it's also a country blessed with great natural resources. Well, I mean, I've just described our audience, and I've described the people in that room. I mean, hardworking people. So.
I think I can lead off with that tonight.
Oh, yeah, I'll come up with something.
You always do.
I mean, you know me. I don't write these things.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to come a point in life where I'm going to have to write them. I mean, I did a commencement speech. I didn't write that one. So, now that one, I did have topics. I just had topic, and I knew what I wanted to say about each.
Yeah, you're a when it gets to the point you're going to start writing stuff down, you're more of a bullet point kind of guy.
I've always been more of a bullet point guy, and most of these things I don't write down. Now, I hope that doesn't drop my fee at all. No, I'm just kidding. But it's just, I'm just more comfortable doing it this way. I mean, my goodness, I've told so many of these stories so many times, even I'm getting bored with them.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have our high school football previews. Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of Minnesota football, is going to join us tomorrow as well. Friday, we'll have a writer from the St. Paul Pioneer Press on the show. My brother will join us for picks. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. And the winner is... the National Football League. Antonio Brown, they're going to actually throw him out of the game? Because he had custom cleats? Now, my second one is Rex Ryan. All right? Did you see that Rex Ryan got on Julian Edelman's conference call and asked if Edelman was going to be playing quarterback? Now, you wonder why Rex Ryan struggles as a head coach. Right? He takes his eye off the ball all the time. You see Belichick doing this? Oh, Belichick's out there getting his team ready. Ah, you don't have to be in sleep in your office or any of that stuff. That's ridiculous. But you have, you know, I've watched all 50 Super Bowls. I don't once recall Rex Ryan on the sideline as the head coach. Do any of you? Rex, head coach?
Mm-mm.
Super Bowl? No.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason for that. Right. Get your team ready. And the Patriots already have him right where they want him because he's not dialed in. Not dialed in. So
it could be time to post a question, which will be the first NFL coach to be shown the door. He could be there.
I don't know. I don't know. It's, they won last week, so I mean, you buy yourself some collateral when you do that.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson today. Yeah, interesting. Tiger Woods is at the Ryder Cup as one of the alternate captains. So he... he and Mickelson were walking and kidding around on the fairway yesterday. A lot of people haven't seen this between the two of them over these years. And if you recall that when Tiger comes back, Phil has openly requested to be in a pairing with Tiger when he comes back. Well, today there was that infamous pairing in 2004 where the two of them together, they didn't go well. And Mickelson opened up about it today. And he said, it all starts with the captain. And Hal Sutton put Woods and he together for two matches on the opening day. He says, we were told 2 days before that we were playing together. He said, and that gave us no time to work together and prepare. They were a surprise team of the Ryder Cup. They lost their best ball match to Colin Montgomery and Padraig Harrington 2-1. And it was a match where Woods and Mickelson combined for five birdies and still lost. But then it was the afternoon match when they were asked to play alternate shot against Darren Clark, who's this year's European captain, and Lee Westwood. That match went to the 18th hole. The Europeans won one up despite making a bogey. In alternate shot, you play one ball, then, and that was the issue. And Woods had found out the year before when he played in the President's Cup in 2003 that the ball I was playing was not going to work for him. He plays a very high spin ball, and I play a low spin ball. He said that we had to come up in 2 days with a solution. So I grabbed a dozen golf balls. I went off to the side, tried to learn his golf ball for 4 or 5 hour sessions, one of the other holes, and just try to figure out what's going on. It forced me to stop my preparation for the tournament, to stop chipping, stop putting, because I was trying to hit his ball in preparation for this. So in the history of my career, I've never ball tested 2 days prior to a major. I've never done it. It didn't allow me to play my best. What allows me to play my best is to learn the course, sharpen my touch on the greens, sharpen my chipping out of the rough, and ball striking. Instead of 4 or 5 hours, I'm out there trying to learn another golf ball. Had we had known in advance, we might have been able to work it out. I think we probably would have made it work, but we only had less than 2 days. You know, and everybody said there was a lot of problems between the two, and Mickelson says, no. He says, that's not the issue. The issue was actually more the golf ball and just trying to somehow get it work. Interesting. And again, it's interesting that when Woods comes back, Mickelson has openly campaigned to be in the same pairing with him. That says something. So, all right. Just a couple interesting items along the way. So that's what's going on. We've already obviously talked a little bit about the Penn State thing moving forward. I mean, it's going to be a big game for them this week. And Brandon Smith will be able to start a linebacker, and it's probably going to be Manny Bone and Cam Brown with him. They might get a player back this week. And then next week, the door might be open, too. We'll see. We'll find out as time goes. It's just as time goes. But Doug of from Wellsboro asked a very interesting question. And I think I've been really consistent about this because I haven't changed my mind about anything. I haven't changed my mind about James Franklin. I haven't changed my mind about where they were. I haven't changed about where they are now. And I haven't changed my mind about where I think they can go. But this process of replenishing a roster takes time. And, you know, people talk about ranking classes. Okay. And I always say, look, you have to see how it plays out. So if you're just doing it on pure class rankings, what are the two weakest classes that Penn State has in terms of ranking? What are the two weakest? That would be the true senior class and the redshirt junior class. Right? The fifth-year senior class and the redshirt junior class would be the two weakest on paper that Penn State has. That's the upper part of the team. Those are the ones that were ranked in the 50s during that time when you could only get 65 guys. You could only get 15 max in a year. Well, that's your upper class right now. And I know it's difficult for people to put a handle on this because you're so used to success at Penn State. You know, it's not just the, you know, altogether, I've been on the Penn State Football Network for 25. It's my 25th season on the Penn State Football Network. I was part of the broadcast team when they won the 86 national championship. A very small part of it, but I was on the broadcast team, which means I was at every game that year. Same thing in 85, went to the national championship game that year. I was on the broadcast team that year, too. So I've seen all the good times here. I was here in 82. I was here in 78. I was here in 85 and 86. I was here in 94. I've seen all the great times here where maybe once in a while be a little bit of a dip, but you're in the process of reloading and the younger players get good and they're ready to play and they go. But I've never been around anything like this. Never. Nobody has. where you're forced to drop down numbers. You're forced to make the roster work. You're forced to recruit with only limited numbers. You've got your hands tied. There's only so many things you can do. Bill O'Brien made a conscious decision, which he told me about. He said, look, I'm going to try and get as many skilled players as I can and see if we can get some scores and keep people entertained. That's what he told me. And when you look at those two recruiting classes, that's what he did. There weren't as many linemen recruited in those 2 years because he was always operating under the fact that over a four-year span, he could only get 15 guys a year. Then James Franklin comes in. He gets in late. And part of two, remember, Bill is also getting ready for the Super Bowl. That first recruiting class, too. I mean, the first time I met Bill in the office, there was a big screen TV. I'm talking a 70-inch screen TV to the left of Bill's desk. And on that screen, it was paused. It was the Giants-Patriots regular season game that was on there. And this was mid-January. So he was trying to do two jobs at once, you know, which I respected. That's fine. I'm just no complaint, but you know, I'm explaining the story to you. Well, James gets in here in early to mid-January. He's trying to play catch-up based on what Bill and his staff had recruited, you know, trying to save the Mike Kosickis and guys like that that have been there, plus also get a few guys to come in as well. You know, then you finally get a feel on recruiting that second year. Those are all your guys you recruited start to finish. And that, you know, this past one, same thing. So you're just in the process of trying to get this thing going. And people have asked, for example, you know, what about the progress? You know, they see Connor McGovern playing. Connor's done a nice job. When you see the progress, what do you see in the progress of Michael Mennett and Will Fries? I'll tell you right now, Michael Mennett is a tremendous athlete that's going to play offensive line. He's a great athlete, not just a really good lineman. He's a great athlete. And Will Fries is even better than I thought he was going to be. But is it right to redshirt them now? Absolutely it is right to redshirt them now. There was an old saying around here, and so many of these old sayings that Joe Paterno had absolutely held true. The old saying was, I would rather play a guy a game too late than a game too early. Playing Mennett and Fries now would be playing them too early. Now, they'd be able to compete and make a few things happen, and there would also be some things that might set them back a little bit because of the size and speed of the people they're going against and the experience. So there would be some battles they'd be able to win, but there would also be some battles they probably would lose. And there's that fine line. When are you physically and mentally ready to play the game? When does the game speed match who you are? Fries and Mennett are both going to play a lot next year. Staying out this year is the right thing to do with them. But what I do love is that between Connor McGovern, Fries, and Mennett, they have three guys with great potential that look like they were hits on the recruiting trail. Now you add in Bates, who's a redshirt freshman now. You add in the fact that Mann and Nelson can both come back. And now you have, you know, that Gonzalez is a redshirt freshman. You know, now you got something that might be cooking there in your offensive line. Now, again, there'll be young kids next year, so there are going to be some moments next year that, hey, look, it's not going to work on certain plays. But they're going to get a chance to grow together. And the old story is, the further you are away from the ball, the quicker your opportunity is to play. So Gilligan's a punter. That translates easily from high school to college. Miles Sanders plays, translates easily high school to college. You got Cam Brown now playing at linebacker. I'll give Cam Brown credit. He's going to need the weight room. There's no question about that, because Cam Brown's, what, 210, 215, somewhere around there? You know, Cam's going to have to get himself with that 6'5 frame to maybe 220, 230. But he's never been through a winter program here. Never. You'll get Kabinda back. You know, Bowen's just going to get better and better. I mean, Cooper's going to get better. That's why I've stayed consistent. I've looked at that 17 season as that start to turn the corner season. I still, you know, there's still a lot more to do in this season. This is a big game for them this week. Same thing next week. But there's a process to getting this thing back. ask yourself, USC's 1-3 right now. Why is it that USC and Penn State have similar stats? Kessler was sacked 100 times in 3 years. Hackenberg was sacked 103. Why do they have relatively the same win totals over the last 3 years? Why? Not as if USC's not from an incredibly fertile recruiting area. They are, but they've had to make certain decisions to stay 75 or under. Penn State had to make all these decisions to stay 65 and under, then all of a sudden stay under 75. And there's, you know, there's parallels between the two programs. USC, I think, has made the mistake of panicking on coaches left and right. You can't give somebody a full chance until they've actually had a full chance. And in the last 2 years, in 14 and 15, did this coaching staff have a full chance to show what they can do? Or did they play with one arm tied behind their back? Well, finally, now they have an opportunity to open up a little bit here because they're finally to 81. But again, it's the first step into being over 80. It's the first step of being to over 80. Now, I'm just talking here in pure logic, not in excuses. I'm talking, think about this with some logic, not excuses. Logic is reality. Logic's reality. Is there anything along the way, logically, I've said that's not true? Believe me, I want to see them out there winning 10, 11 games now. Who wouldn't? All right, we'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Coming up tomorrow will be our high school football roundtable. Ryan Brandt's going to join us tomorrow. Steve Williams, Greg Wetzel, and Mike Frelazzo to preview the games involving Selins Grove, Milton, Lewisburg, and Shikellamy. And, of course, Shikellamy you'll hear right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK at 7 o'clock on Friday with a 6:30 airtime. Mike and the coach Dick Court will have that for you. And also Mike Grimm, the play-by-play voice of Minnesota football. He's also the play-by-play voice for Minnesota basketball. Mike will join us tomorrow as well. Looking forward to that. Grimmer is just one of the great guys out there. Minnesota's had three guys since I started doing this. Ray Christensen did Minnesota football and basketball for 51 years and was the nicest guy going. And David Lee took over, and David was awesome, great guy. And now Mike. Mike's about as nice gets. And it'll be great to talk to Mike tomorrow. Great guy. A real pro, too. I've been very lucky with the people in this conference. I mean, look at what we have coming up. You know, I saw Jim Brandstetter last week, and Jim is tremendous. We've got Mike, and then next week we'll have Johnny Holiday on. And Johnny and I talked for about 20 minutes yesterday about 8 different things and probably laughed for 19 of the 20 minutes. And then Paul Keels, the great one himself from Ohio State. Then we'll have Tim Newton, who's just an awesome guy. Gary Dolphin's about as nice a guy as you get. All right, then it's Don Fisher, the great veteran. I don't know if we'll be able to get Chris Carlin on or not. It's difficult to get Chris, and here's the reason why. Not that Chris doesn't want to do the show, but he does a show on SiriusXM about the same time we do, so it's hard to get him. I might be able to tape something with him in the morning the week of that game.
I know he was doing a TV show, I think, on, wasn't he on SNY, too? I think he was doing something there, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's busy all the time.
Yeah.
And then George Blaha, of course, from Michigan State. I mean, just one great guy after another. I mean, I'm really lucky with the people I've talked to in this conference. Conference has a lot of really talented guys that are just good people.
Chris Carlin, with ties to Central PA, was doing Williamsport minor league baseball play-by-play early 90s.
Yep.
Back when they were the Bills.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the Pennsylvania Petroleum Association is about to get the speech of their life.
Oh, you're going to crush it.
No, I wasn't talking about me. I'm sure they got somebody else there who can wow the crowd.
The person that's introing you, right?
The guy making the introduction? Awesome. Oh, my goodness. All right. Mike Grimm tomorrow. High School Football Roundtable tomorrow. brother Friday. We convinced him to go to the Maryland game. We'll see if it's real.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.